Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Paul's basic point of praying, the content of his prayer, is that the Colossians would be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. This evening we're going to learn about a life controlled by God's will.
Welcome to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. To be loving and to have faith and hope are all important parts of the Christian life. But as we seek to live out the gospel in our daily lives, there's something more. Today on The Verdict, we're exploring the importance of maturing in our faith and knowing God's will for our lives. Now, continuing in the book of Colossians, here's Pastor John Monroe with today's lesson.
Today we're looking at verses 9, 10, and 11 of Colossians 1. Paul is praying for the Colossians that they may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Every authentic follower of Jesus wants to do the will of God, but we often think of God's will in specific situations. Who we marry, what career should we follow, where should we live, and so on. Now, God is concerned with every detail of our lives, but even more importantly, God wants us to grow in His grace and to become more and more like Jesus. When we're learning to play an instrument or a sport, you expect to make progress, don't you? And we want to make progress in our Christian faith. This is God's will for you. Paul begins his prayer for the Colossians, and he thanks God for the faith, love, and hope of the Colossians. What a tremendous commendation. But it's not enough to have faith. Paul goes on. Paul is praying that these Colossians who have done so well thus far, that they will continue in their spiritual growth. Progress in the Christian life is essential for us all. Whether we've been a Christian for 6 days or 60 years, we must continue to go forward. When Pablo Casals, the great cellist, reached 95, a young reporter asked him a question. "Mr. Casals, you're 95 and this greatest cellist that ever lived. Why do you still practice 6 hours a day?" Pablo Casals answered, "Because I think I'm making progress." I like that. And in the Christian life, we want to make progress, don't we? We don't want to stagnate. Do you feel you're making progress in the Christian life? Central to making progress is doing God's will. In our passage this evening, we'll learn that a life which pleases God is a life controlled by God's will. Now let's open our Bibles and read Colossians 1, and we're going to read from verse 9 through 11. "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for all endurance and patience." First of all, in verse 9, we see the priority of doing God's will. Verse 9, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Paul's basic point of praying, the content of his prayer, is that the Colossians would be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. Wonderful balance in Paul's prayer life, isn't there? In verses 3 through 8 that we thought of last week, he mentioned their love for others. And loving relationships are very, very important in the Christian life. However, says Paul, it is essential that you be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Remember, Peter encourages us at the end of his second epistle to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in verse 9, Paul refers to knowledge. He refers to wisdom. He refers to understanding. In verse 10, he refers to the knowledge of God. You see, the false teachers at Colossae were putting an emphasis on false knowledge, advocating a kind of mystical fullness. But Paul is praying for a true and a full knowledge. Epignosis is the Greek word. This knowledge of God's will concerns God's truth, which is revealed in God's word. And so Paul is dealing with the ability to live one's life to the glory of God by living it in accordance with spiritual wisdom and understanding. That's the application of our knowledge of the will of God in our lives. So our highest priority is to be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. Isn't that amazing? Knowledge is at the foundation of Christian living. Not our emotions, not our experiences, not our feelings, not our opinions, but knowledge. Hosea 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We have to understand, verse 5, the word of truth. Verse 6, the grace of God in truth. The Colossians here in verse 9 are to be filled, that is, filled by God, controlled and characterized by this knowledge of God's will. It's one thing to have knowledge, it's another thing to be controlled and motivated by this knowledge. Now, where does this wisdom and this knowledge come from? It is the knowledge, verse 9, of His will. His will. Turn over to chapter 2, verse 3. Regarding Christ, Paul says, in whom are hidden all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. But Paul has already told us in this epistle that we are in Christ. Christ has all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and we are in Him. What a wonderful truth. This is the reason then we pray that we may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Integrating God's word into our lives requires great spiritual wisdom and understanding. We thought, for example, this morning of the great subject of the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. Now, how are we going to integrate that into our lives tomorrow morning, this evening? That takes spiritual wisdom and understanding. This knowing leads to action, to doing God's will. Many Christians and churches seem to think that knowledge and biblical doctrine are unimportant. Once when I explained to a man that the church he attends doesn't have sound doctrine, his reply to me was, doctrine doesn't bother me. After all, we all believe the Bible, don't we? How naive. Some pastors, in fact, appear to leave the teaching of doctrine and discipleship to others. And biblical exposition is replaced by something else, storytelling or testimonies or inspiring little stories. Clearly, knowledge and doctrine are often not high on our priorities, but that is not the case with the Apostle Paul. Notice his priority when praying for the Colossians. Of all of the things he could have prayed for, he prayed this, that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I hope you understand the tremendous impact we have on the lives of others through praying for them. Often our prayers are very narrow, are very limited, aren't they? If we were to ask tonight for a list of things we should be praying for, in many cases, it's going to be very much revolving around physical needs, medical ailments, someone has to sell a home, and so on. And all of these things are important, and we certainly should pray for them. But while Aunt Joan's ingrown toenail and Uncle Bob's varicose veins may be important to them, they really are not the priorities, are they? We often concentrate on physical matters rather than spiritual. Parents, when you're praying for your children, I know you want them to do well at school. I know you want them to be successful and all of that. But make sure you're praying this kind of prayer, that your son, that your daughter may be filled with the knowledge of His will. First and foremost, this is the priority, that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom. and understanding, the priority of doing God's will. Then secondly, in verse 10, the first part of verse 10, we have the purpose of doing God's will. First, the priority. Secondly, the purpose. Verse 10, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him. The purpose, the goal of doing God's will is that we may have a God-pleasing lifestyle. So that I pray for you, my dear brother, my dear sister, that you may be filled with God's will. For what purpose? So as, verse 10, that you would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him. So the goal of being filled, of being controlled by the knowledge of God's will, is not to accumulate knowledge for knowledge's sake. Far from it, no. In Scripture, in fact, we don't really know anything unless it results in a changed life, unless it leads to action. But without this knowledge of God's will, it's impossible to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. The goal of knowing God's will, then, and God's truth, is to live a changed life. F.F. Bruce writes, right knowledge leads to right behavior. Now, this expression, verse 10, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, this expression, walk, is a figure of speech, obviously, referring to the whole of our conduct, our lifestyle, to the road we travel, as it were. So Paul is saying that the result of being controlled by the knowledge of God's will is that every aspect of our life is a credit to the Lord, that it's worthy of the Lord. I remember speaking to a waitress in a restaurant, and she told me that she had to dress a certain way. She was told how to greet the customers. She was told how to go over the menu. Her appearance, her words, her attitude, her conduct had to be worthy of the restaurant. She had to represent the restaurant and the owner of the restaurant in a certain way. That's the point, isn't it? As Christians, everything we do, our very attitude, their words, our lifestyle, is to be a credit to the Lord, to be worthy of the Lord. Not in the sense of earning salvation, of course, we're saved by grace, but we're to conduct ourselves in all of our life in a way which is consistent with who the Lord is and what He has done. Let me ask you this week, have you walked, have you lived in a way worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him? Are your actions and attitudes consistent with being a follower of Jesus Christ? Living this way pleases the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful goal in life? To please God and to glorify Him. What a motivation to live in such a way that we're fully pleasing to Him. So first of all, the priority of being controlled by God's will. Secondly, the purpose of being controlled by God's will. Thirdly, the proof of doing God's will. Reading on in verse 10. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Paul, in fact, gives four ways in which we can please the Lord. He uses four participles. The main verb is to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. And from that, there are four participles which show and define how we can live in such a way as to please the Lord in every aspect. Here are the four specific ways. Verse 10, bearing fruit in every good work. The end of verse 10, increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, being strengthened with all power. And then in verse 12, which we'll think of in a couple of weeks from now, giving thanks to the Father. These four participles are in the present tense and give the concrete proof and definition of what does it mean to please the Lord fully. Here are four ways in which we can test our spiritual life. How are you doing? Are you pleasing the Lord in these four ways? First of all, the person controlled by God's will leads a productive life, bearing fruit, verse 10, in every good work. He or she will be fruitful. This participle, bearing fruit, is a continuous present, reminds us of this wonderful truth that as we abide in Christ, the true vine, we will bear fruit. Listen to the words of our Lord in John 15, verse 5, that great fruit-bearing chapter. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, think of the intimate relationship. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can't do my will. Bearing fruit. And this fruitfulness is manifested in every good work. The Christian who's controlled by God's will does good things. These are not the cause of our salvation, but they're the consequence of it. What is internal will manifest itself externally. There'll be a variety of fruit. You say, now what's that fruit? Well, first of all, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, that love, joy, peace, and so on. That kindness, that self-control, and patience, and gentleness. There will be the fruit of serving others. This is the very opposite of being a self-centered person, of serving others. There will be the fruit of humility, of praise and worship, the fruit of lips of Hebrews 13. There will also, secondly, be increasing in the knowledge of God at the end of verse 10. Increasing, just as a plant grows and bears fruit. So we are to grow. And the Colossians are doing well, but Paul wants them to continue to increase in the knowledge of God. And many of you here are serving the Lord. You are fruitful. I want to encourage you to continue on, to press on, to increase in the knowledge of God. The priority of doing God's will, the purpose of doing God's will, the proof of doing God's will, finally, and praise God for this in verse 11, the power to do God's will. Notice verse 11. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience. God gives us the power to do his will as we rely on his strength. I don't know about you, but when I read these verses, I think, how can I please God in all respects? How can I bear fruit in every good work? How can I increase in the knowledge of God? Knowledge by itself doesn't produce obedience. We have a cunning enemy. Our flesh cries out to be satisfied. The world easily draws us in. And knowing the battle we face and our tendency to live the Christian life in our own strength, Paul now uses another present participle, being strengthened with all power. How can I walk in a manner which pleases God? I can never, ever do that in my own strength. In my own education, in my own skill, in my own ability, I cannot do it. Hence the need for the supernatural power. Power is needed. And when you and I seek to do God's will, when we pursue wisdom, when we seek to live a life in the fear of the Lord, a life that pleases God, God gives us his power. It is all power. Look at verse 11. All power. Don't you like that little word, all? Paul uses often, all, every. Strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. This is the power of God which created the universe. The power of God which raised Jesus Christ from the dead. This fullness of power is available to you and me when we do the will of God and seek to please him. Isn't that a wonderful thing to go through life with a clear conscience? All of us know what it is to have a troubled conscience, a seared conscience. But when we're doing God's will, when we're seeking to please the Lord, we can then get down on our knees and say, God, help me. Fill me with the knowledge of your will. Fill me with this power, all power, according to your glorious might. That this God who guides us, that this God who reveals his will to us, is the same God who gives us the power to do it. Raising your family, going to work, speaking to children, going on a missions trip, witnessing to your next door neighbor, Whatever it is that God calls you to do, he gives us the power according to his glorious might. And when we do God's will in God's power, we will be steadfast and patient. Verse 11, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience. Do you ever feel weak, discouraged, impatient, and critical? Answer, yes. At least I do sometimes. There are problems, there are troubles, there's disappointments and discouragements in life and in the Christian life. And it's easy to give up, isn't it? What's going to help us to press on? This power, according to his glorious might, with all endurance. The Christian life is not a 40-yard dash, is it? We have to endure with all patience. And God's power produces this quality of endurance and patience. We are to be steadfast, enduring, in dealing with difficult circumstances. We are to be patient when dealing with difficult people. We are to be patient, aren't we, in doing God's will, and that comes from God's power. Let me ask you a very basic question. Are you drawing on God's power in living the Christian life? We know we should, but the reality is often we're doing it in our own strength, isn't it? Wouldn't it be wonderful this week, whatever God calls you to do. Some of you go to school. Some of you go to a bank. Mothers at home. Whatever we're doing, if we would ask God to fill us with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, and that he would give us all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience. And when the difficult times come, God's power is available. This is why prayer is so vital for ourselves and for others. God's provision of this power is available to us. Therefore, pray for the supernatural power as well as for supernatural wisdom and understanding. George Truett said, "To know the will of God is the greatest knowledge. To do the will of God is the greatest achievement." God wants you to have the greatest knowledge, the knowledge of his will. God wants you to have the greatest achievement, which is to do the will of God. Let us not only know the will of God, let us do the will of God in the power of God for the glory of God.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message called The Will of God. John has more to share on this important subject in just a moment, so keep listening. Here at The Verdict, we're passionate about equipping our listeners to read and interact with the life-changing Word of God. That's why we'd like to send you a free copy of John's booklet titled Eternal Security, Finding Certainty in a Chaotic World. In it, John shares his personal testimony along with a careful examination of Scripture to help you better understand God's promises regarding salvation. And be sure in your faith as you follow or consider following our Lord Jesus Christ. This special resource is an excellent addition to our study in Colossians, and it's completely free by mail or download. Just visit our website at calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And while you're online, we also want to invite you to play a part in what God is doing through The Verdict. With your donation of any amount, you're helping us share God's Word with new listeners each week. So if reaching others with the gospel is something you're passionate about, consider giving a financial gift today. Whether it's $5, $50, less or more, it's easy to give today when you visit calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to our daily podcast. Just open your favorite podcast app, search for The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, and click subscribe to get these messages delivered automatically each week. And now, here's Pastor John Monroe with closing remarks for today's message.
Well, what's your verdict? Can you say that you're filled with the knowledge of the will of God? I know you want to please God. Are you bearing fruit? Where is the evidence? Are you increasing in the knowledge of God? Are you being strengthened with his power? Are you giving thanks to the Father? Ask God to give you the strength and the power today to do His will. And you will see growth in your relationship with Christ. Join me next time as we continue our fascinating study of the book of Colossians.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.